All right, it's that time again for Living the Good Life. I slide into the seat here in the control room at TanTalkNetwork.com, and through the glass I can see my wonderful, amazing associate Pastor Jim, who's getting himself all hooked in here, headphones all put together, everything getting straightened out. He just told me that we've been ministering together for 8 years. Now, that number means resurrection, a new life. So this is going to be an amazing show, because that's what I feel in my gut, Pastor Jim. It's really going to be great. Cindy will be coming along. Cindy Logan from our ministry in Indiana will be along pretty soon and join us. And this is Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Clearwater, Florida. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister. We are in our 16th year as a ministry. Doesn't seem possible, Pastor Jim.
No, it does not.
And you and I have been together 8 years.
Yeah, I started coming to the church in, September of 2008.
2008, so
it's been 8.5 years.
8.5 years. That's crazy, isn't it? You didn't know you could have this much fun, right?
Oh, no.
You know, interestingly enough, some of you listeners may know this. Pastor Jim and I are both Ball State University graduates from Muncie, Indiana.
Go Cards.
Go Cards. Didn't know each other, of course. He graduated like 7 years after I did, I guess. I got to admit that, even though I'd like to say it was the other way around.
Mm-hmm.
But then I would be not telling the truth. And we always want to tell the truth. So therefore, we are Ball State graduates from Indiana, didn't know each other at all until you walked into one of our services here at Beacon of Hope in Clearwater in September of 2008, and how God put our hearts together. And that is how he does it. And I could not be more thrilled to have had you all these years by my side. And actually, we co-pastor in such a profound way. We always have. And you know, there's so many duties in the ministry, and we managed to split them up pretty well and back each other up quite a bit. 2 weeks from today, you will be hosting the show, and you always host when I'm out of town, and I'll be in Indiana for an amazing event, the family reunion.
Which are always fun.
Oh, my gosh. Of our Wagner family. That was my maiden name. And the three remaining sister and brothers of my dad, and my Aunt Betty is 95. So this is a huge event for all of us, with our cousins and kids and grandkids and great-grandkids. And it's going to be...
It sounds crowded.
It's going to be really a lot of people. It really is. And that's not with most of my kids. My kids are going, but grandkids, most of them cannot. So it's going to be pretty crazy, but that's 2 weeks from today, and you will be sitting in that chair in there, but hosting. And
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we look forward to it. And so it's so cool to know that when I'm in the ministry work or wherever I'm at, out there on the mission field or wherever, you are right here to keep everything going for our dear ones in Clearwater. Tell us what happens on Wednesday night here and why people should come check it out.
We have the gathering. And that is a time of, well, we start out with prayer about 6 o'clock, and we meet at the Red Roof Inn, 3580 Olmerton Road in Clearwater. very conveniently located right off the Howard Franklin Bridge for those of you in the area. So we start out at about 6 o'clock. We take prayer requests. We pray the word out of the Prayers That Avail Much book, which is really good because it's prayers completely based on scripture
and absolutely
for all sorts of, you know, for all your needs. And then 6:30 we have praise and worship, and then we get into the word. It's an interactive Bible study.
Yes.
You know, we encourage people to ask questions, bring a notebook, bring your Bible, bring your dinner. A couple of us bring dinner quite often because we're kind of rushing in from work, which is great. I mean, it's just kind of, it's more of a, well, this just hit me, Pastor. It's more of a family setting, like
it really
the
is.
First, well, like the church in the first century would do. People would just, they come and eat and have church.
Mm-hmm.
And
exactly,
you know, it's kind of that way. We're family. We get together to worship God and to get into the word. And it's a great time. We're usually done by 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Wonderful. Wonderful. And periodically we have our Facebook posting on Wednesday nights at 7:30.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So we encourage everybody, to check out those. And,
yeah.
I repost them back on our Facebook page, Beacon of Hope Ministries. So you can check them out there. You can check them out live on most Wednesdays. There are some that are going to be done a little earlier. But you can always find them on our Facebook page.
Right. So go to there. Beacon of Hope Ministries. Ours is the one with the lighthouse with all the different colors, because there are some other Beacon of Hope Ministries.
Yeah, there are.
So look for that, and we've got all those Facebook posts. We've been doing this Facebook thing since the middle of January of this year, and so we've got a lot of posts and a lot of videos there that are anywhere from, say, 14 minutes to 17 or 18, and just great teaching of the Word, and I say that even though I'm doing it, but it is, because
it
it's
good.
The Word, you know? It's the Word of God. That's what it's all about. You know, there are so many things going on in so many people's lives right now. We are not a political show, but we know that there are a lot of political things going on that are difficult for this nation. We pray for our nation and our leaders every week. When Pastor Jim mentioned the Prayers That Avail Much book, the title of that is Prayers That Avail Much. The author is Jermaine Copeland. And I had a Christian bookstore for 11 years in Indiana, and it was one of the very first books that I ever ordered from Harrison House that I carried. And when it was just volume one, Pastor Jim, and it was just probably 30 prayers in there.
Yeah, I used to have the three separate editions,
right.
Volumes one, two, and three.
And
so I was happy when they combined them all into one.
They combined them into one, and there's, what, 150 or something like that or more prayers in there.
Mm-hmm.
So we encourage you can get them at your Christian bookstore, and it's a great way to pray what God wants us to pray about our certain situations. You mentioned there's prayers there for worry, fear, anxiety, feeling helpless or hopeless. The word, you know, go ahead.
Right. Well, and thinking that today is, you know, or this weekend
is Memorial Day.
There are prayers for our armed forces.
Yes.
Prayers for our nation. It's just a really good resource.
It is. And I wanted to get to that. So happy Memorial Day tomorrow to everyone around this country and for so many of our troops that are stationed overseas. And we have our own Dr. Angel's son, Anthony, in the Army that is about to go to Afghanistan, we think. So, you know, and you may know people that are scattered in different places around the globe. And so we're going to start the show today with a special prayer. I'm going to ask Pastor Jim to do that for our troops, for our leaders in our nation, and for all those like my dad, and I don't know about your dad, Pastor Jim, did he serve?
He never went overseas, but he was drafted during the Korean War.
Okay. All right. So our relatives that have and friends that have served in this nation in the military leadership of this nation. And it's a joy to know that so many have taken their commitment very seriously mm-hmm. in the armed forces and what they've done. So why don't you start the show today with that, please?
Okay. Father, we come before you in the name of Jesus, thanking you for the freedoms that we have, because we know ultimately all our freedoms come from you. Father, we thank you for the people who guard our nation, for all those servicemen and servicewomen here in the United States and abroad who serve diligently to protect us. Father, we remember those who gave their lives
Amen.
In the service of this country.
Amen.
We ask you, Father, that their families would be blessed of you because of what their relatives have done.
Mm-hmm.
Father, we ask that you would just guide and direct this nation and its leadership. Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask for an outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon your people.
Amen.
That we would support and uplift those in authority over us.
Yes.
Father, that we would say no ill, but that we would pray that your will would be done.
Amen.
Father, we ask your blessing upon this show. We ask you, Lord, just to guide and direct it. Let the word go forth in power. Let the word go forth giving life to all those who hear it. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, great prayer. Glad you're joining us today on Living the Good Life. Guess what? Our God is an awesome God. He certainly is. Woo! We got to start with that today. I love this song. We did it Wednesday night at Bible study, mm-hmm. didn't we, Pastor Jim?
Yes, we did.
Just love this song. It just reminds me of the power of Almighty God. God. Love it. Love how it just goes on and on there on the end, you know?
I love that, yeah.
Oh, our God is an awesome God, and we declare that today across the airwaves around the globe. We give God glory and praise for what he's going to do on this show today. And we are glad you're listening either live or later on StarcomRadioNetwork.com at 10 a.m. Eastern on Saturday and Sundays. You can hear this very show this coming weekend, along with on the podcast here at TanTalkNetwork.com. Later on after this evening sometime, it'll be up there on the podcast. You just go to Living the Good Life, go to podcast and Living the Good Life, and there it'll be. So we're glad you joined us today, and we are going to talk about that awesomeness of God and how he has things planned out for us, Pastor Jim. So often we think that we're just muddling through life, just putting one foot in front of the other. It's not like that, is it, if we know God as our source and our Savior?
Right, because in Psalm 139, it says, you know, you knew me. You knew me before I was formed. And God has a plan. And for
Amen.
Each one of us.
Yeah.
And it says in Ephesians, you know, he chose us. And I think the Amplified says, literally picked us out as his own before the foundation of the world.
Ooh, yeah.
So he's got stuff he wants to do with us, in us, and through us.
Amen.
And, you know, sometimes we tend to want to frustrate those plans. I know I have several times. But we don't just muddle through. If we're believers, God is in control. And
Amen.
You know, even if we, you know, step outside of his will periodically, and I think probably all of us do.
Yes.
He's a big enough God to turn that around. It says in Romans, he makes all things work for our good if we love him.
Amen.
And are called according to his purpose. Well, we're called, and if all we have to do is love him, and even the times we mess up, he'll turn around for good.
Amen.
He'll bring good out of the worst thing.
Yes, he does. This series, very well said. This series is Precious Promises. We're in about part 3 or 4, someplace in there in the middle of that. We're talking about Abram, and a lot of us know him as Abraham, but at the point where we are in Genesis, it's right before God changes his name. And we have been talking about Abram, that God originally said to Abram, clear back in Genesis chapter 12. We began this a couple weeks ago. And if you missed it, you can, again, go to the podcast here or Starcom Radio Network and catch up. But in Genesis 12, we see that God says to him, to Abram, to leave his country, to strike out for the land that God was going to give him, that he was going to give him an amazing inheritance. And so Abram believed God and took Sarah, his wife. At that point, her name was Sarai, and his nephew Lot, and they struck out for the promised land. And we've talked a little bit about things that happened, but one of the important things that happened is in chapter 13, God says to Abram, he takes him outside, and he says, open your eyes and look around. I'm in Genesis 13:14. Open your eyes and look around. Look north, south, east, and west. Everything you see, the whole land spread out before you, I will give to you and your children forever. I'll make your descendants like dust. Counting your descendants will be as impossible as counting the dust of the earth. So on your feet, get moving, walk through the country. I'm giving it all to you. And so Abram obeyed. That's what is so critical about Abram. He obeyed. Now, to be told that your descendants would be like the dust of the earth is totally crazy and amazing. But it's far more crazy because at this point, Abram and Sarai had not had a child. How old were they, Pastor Jim?
Well, they were six. Abram at this point was 75 when they left Ur.
Right.
And Sarah was
65. 10 years younger.
You know, and this, we don't really find out a time until a little bit later on. Well, they've been there, you know.
Long time.
Abram was 86.
Yes.
In chapter 16. So.
And that's where we're going next.
A lot of time had passed.
He had been promised, and Sarah had been promised that they would have a child. and their descendants would be as the dust of the earth. Cindy, are you with us from Indiana?
Yes, ma'am.
So glad to have you on with us today. We missed you last time. We had phone problems, and we're glad you're with us today. And we're talking about Abram and Sarah. And can you imagine having a baby at age 65 for Sarah? And guess what? It didn't happen at age 65. But can you imagine that, Cindy?
I can't even picture that at my age.
Right, know? Right.
Get close to 60, but, you know, no.
Right.
That's just unfathomable for a woman of that age to even, just to even imagine it. No.
Well, and I'm a little older than you, and I will tell you that this past Friday night, I had my twin tornadoes, that I call them. They're 3 years old, A and B, Aaliyah and Briley, and they stayed all night, and they stayed till about noon the next day. And I can tell you, just that many hours, I remember why young people have kids. You know what I mean, Cindy? You're a grandma.
Have them when they're young, yeah.
Pastor Jim's a grandpa. Yeah, go ahead.
They wear you out, but they, I think at the same time, they help keep us young.
I so agree.
Anyway.
Well, yeah, I think so. My neighbors, I think, thought so too, since they saw me out playing soccer in the front yard with A and B on Friday night and Saturday morning and playing football. Yeah, I think, my neighbors would agree that it kind of keeps you young. But can you imagine how Abram and Sarah must have thought that they had heard wrong, or that God was crazy or something, for him to take Abram outside in Genesis 13 and say, look up there, or 12, was it 12 or 13?
13.
Look up, see all the dust on the ground. You're going to have that many descendants. That's crazy. And so often, Cindy, when God promises us and tells us something, we find it hard to believe, don't we?
It's hard to wrap your mind around some of the things that he tells us to do, or visions we might have of what we're supposed to do.
Right.
You wonder, it's like, oh, you got to be kidding me. You know, not me. You know, that must just be me dreaming that up.
Right.
Yeah.
But you know what? This series is entitled Precious Promises for a reason. Because I'm going through a difficult time right now in my life in a certain area. And I know that if I did not have God's precious promises to hang on to, it would make this journey I'm on right this moment so much more difficult. Comment on that, Cindy, and then we'll go to PJ on that.
Well, you know, I'm at that place in my life, too, where it just seemed like all of a sudden things just bloom and doom in certain areas. And, you know, I thought one day, I said, I'm just going to throw in the towel.
Right.
And then I thought, and then what? Like, I couldn't make it without the Lord in so many areas of my life. You know, I quickly remembered, I've been there, done that. You did not do so well. So, you know, you can't, you know, there's no hiding from God anyway. It's just, you know, you just know that you, I just quickly realized I cannot do it without him.
Oh.
I need his help in finances. He's a God of miracles and provision. And,
yes.
You know, I just realized quickly, I can't do this without him.
No, we can't. You and I had a great talk on the phone early this morning, and it was a blessing to me because just hearing how God is working in your life and how you're dependent on him and how you've come out of some difficult times already, and just realizing that God's brought you through that.
Absolutely.
You know, he gets all the glory and praise, doesn't he? That's why I wanted to start the show with, our God is an awesome God, because he is. Pastor Jim, talk to us about this.
Well, he certainly is. And I know we're going to be in chapter 16, but I just want to back up to Genesis chapter 15.
Please do.
Because as you like to say, God likes to show us things in pictures.
Yes.
So first of all, in chapter 13, after Abram and Lot separate, then God uses that picture of the dust.
Right.
And then in chapter 15, because it's all kind of leading up to 16.
This is good. I'm glad you're doing this.
Because, you know, God appeared to Abram in a vision, telling him not to be afraid. Your reward is going to be very great. And then Abram says, yeah, right, okay. I have no heir.
Right.
Eliezer is going to have to be my heir.
He's, yeah.
You know, I have to turn everything over to him when I die.
Which is just his servant.
Right.
It was his servant.
And God says, no, this man shall not be your servant, but one of
not
your
not be your heir.
Not be your heir, but one of your very own issues shall be your heir. Then God brought him outside and said, look toward heaven and count the stars if you're able to count them. Then he said to him, so shall your descendants be.
Whoa.
And he, Abram, believed the Lord, and the Lord reckoned it to him as righteousness. An amazing thing. Again, dust of the earth. Now raise your eyes to heaven. Count them.
Mm-hmm. Count stars.
In the days before city lights and smog and all that, there must have been so many more stars, I think, visible back then.
Just probably.
Because of all the pollution now and all that. And what a picture.
Wow.
Here's a man who already had a little bit of doubt. He said, I don't have a son yet, Lord. Surely you're aware of that. You know, it's going to have to be Eliezer. And God said, no, it's going to be someone from you.
And at this point, he's between the age of 75 and 86 somewhere, right? Closer to 86,
right,
probably.
Because in chapter 16, he is 86 years
right.
old.
Right. So somewhere in there, let's say he's around 80.
Yeah. And God...
Crazy.
Yeah, and then God tells him to do something very strange to our eyes. Take the animals, cut them in half.
Right.
But to Abram, that wouldn't have been so strange because he knew that this was literally cutting a covenant.
Cutting a covenant.
And then God, and this is...
I love this.
One of the points
15.
I want,
go ahead.
Yeah, I want to point out here is Abram did not walk between the carcasses. God did.
Yes.
This was a one-sided covenant with Abram.
Ooh, I'm glad you brought that up because we talked about this covenant last week on the show, and I'm glad that you made that point. That was God covenanting with Abram.
With Abram.
Right?
This was in no way an equal covenant. God made some explicit and non-negotiable, if you will,
right,
things with the covenant here. He said, you know, you're going to have descendants. They're going to get this land as a perpetual holding. And it was a one-sided grant to Abram.
Wow.
Irrevocable.
Right.
And that's why it was just the Lord who walked in between those pieces.
Wow. Praise God. Whoa. Love that. Love that. And so we see that now Abram and Sarah have waited 10 or 11 years, still no son. Sarah, at this point, comes up with a great idea.
Oh, yeah, right.
Yeah, in chapter 16, she goes to Abram and she goes, all right, we still don't have a baby. I know you, God, said we were going to have one, so you know what? I'm going to give you my maid, Hagar. You sleep with her, produce a child, an heir, and we'll consider that God's way of handling this. And this is so interesting. Cindy, I want to come to you on this because so often we are willing to settle for less than what God has really promised us because we somehow, down in our little toe, evidently, don't think God really can do what he said he was going to do. Talk to me, Cindy.
Well, I don't think so much that we don't think he can, because we know he can.
Oh, yeah, you're
so,
right.
You know, he's all-powerful.
Right.
But it's that we don't want to wait for him to do it.
Oh, yeah.
It's the impatience. And like in situations for me, I want what I want. And
right.
Maybe I don't think God wants the same thing for me, or maybe God doesn't see it the same way I do, so I... you know, once again, trying to manipulate
right.
the situation and go right ahead and make, you know, jump the gun and then realize later, you know,
whoops.
Hey, well, maybe if I'd have waited on the Lord's timing, I might have got something better, or I really missed out, you know, by not waiting.
I so agree, and we all can relate to what you just said. I also feel like sometimes, besides being impatient, I think... somewhere in me, I must think, okay, I must have misheard you, God. Maybe that wasn't what you were doing. I see what you're doing here. I'll settle for this. And God does not want his children settling, Pastor Jim. You want to comment on that?
Well, he's got so much for us.
Amen.
And I agree with what Cindy said. Sometimes we just get impatient, or what you said, we think maybe we didn't hear the Lord right, or I think sometimes, yes, I know you will do this for everyone else, but maybe not for me.
Exactly.
Because I'm
maybe I messed
I've done
up.
This,
I've
I
done
did
this.
That,
yeah, condemnation.
And I'm pretty sure you don't really want to do this for me. And yet, we settle sometimes for second best.
Right.
We settle for the devil's counterfeits.
Sure.
You know, and sometimes I think we do it because second best is easier.
That's it. I think a lot of times.
It's that Broadway, which leads to destruction rather than the narrow and compressed way.
Well, if you think of Sarai at this point, she's now, let's say, 85 or 86, close to 86. And she would be 10 years younger. Okay, 75, 76.
Right.
But still, I mean, really, 10 years younger than Abram. So still, it's like, okay, at 75, Sarai, are you going to have a baby? I don't think so in our humanness, right? And so she takes matters into her own hands in Genesis 16, has her servant sleep with Abram. She gets pregnant. And then Sarah begins to be jealous of that, I think, and treats her pretty bad.
Mm-hmm.
And Hagar gets upset with the whole thing and leaves. She absolutely leaves. She's pregnant. She's running away from Sarai, her mistress, when God starts talking to her in Genesis 16:8. And it says, an angel of God found her beside a spring in the desert. How like God to always provide a spring in our desert. It was the spring on the road to Shur. He said, Hagar, maid of Sarai, what are you doing here? She said, I'm running away from Sarai, my master. The angel said, go back to your mistress. Put up with her abuse. I'm going to give you a big family, children past counting. You'll get a son, Ishmael, and all of this. And it is so fascinating to me. I want to get to verse 14. 13, she answers God by name, praying to the God who spoke to her, you're the God who sees me. Isn't that Elroy?
Elroy, yeah.
Elroy, is that how you pronounce it? How do you spell it?
E-L-R-O-Y, but...
Yeah, that's what I thought, yeah. Okay, what does that mean, L? And you are the God who sees me. She knew that name of God and calls him by that name. And what it means, she says, go on. That's how the desert spring got named. God alive, sees me, spring. Want to talk about that, Jim, before we do this song?
Sure. It's, you know, it's because Hagar was, you know, still pregnant by Abraham.
Yeah.
Or Abram. That, you know, God said, I'm gonna bless the child.
Right.
And it's funny, like you said, in the midst of our desert, God provides a spring. How wonderful of God to do that, because she was about ready to die.
Right.
And the angel of the Lord, or basically Jesus.
Yeah, showed up.
Pre-incarnate Jesus shows up on the scene. And I like what she says, because she says, In verse 13, have I really seen God and remained alive after seeing him? You know, she had this vision, or God appeared to her.
Right.
And told her what Ishmael was going to be like. He's going to be a wild man and have trouble with, you know, everybody's hands going to be against him. And
just still our Middle East conflict now.
Yeah, basically. But she says, I've seen God. And
ooh, that'll preach.
And the angel said, go back.
Yeah.
Go back.
Right.
And she did. But again, their impatience, they're wanting to find an easier way.
Right.
Because trusting God in the long run is not always an easy thing. It takes hope. It takes patience.
Right.
And that's not always easy
mm-hmm.
to maintain that.
No, it's not.
And they've been doing this already for 10 years.
Right, already. Yeah.
And... And I think, you know, praise God, they just did a human thing.
That's right.
You know,
that's all
they're it not, is. They're not perfect. They just did a human thing. Let's just, you know, let's do this. I'll give you my maid. We'll do it that way. Okay.
Yeah.
And obviously it didn't turn out well because Hagar got a little high-minded. Sarah got tired of her and told Abram to kick her out.
Right.
And then imagine Hagar coming back and saying,
Humbling herself
and saying, I've seen God.
Right.
And this is what he told me.
Ooh, Cindy, I'm going to get to you in a minute on that whole concept. I want to hear this song, Everlasting God, first. And then, Cindy, I want you to comment on this. Woo! If you feel weak today, take God's strength.
But those who trust in the Lord will find new strength. They'll soar high on wings like eagles. They'll run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint.
Oh, I love that song by Lincoln Brewster and his little daughter, right, PJ?
Yeah.
Oh, that is just amazing. Woo, Cindy, talk to us. He is the everlasting God. He is Elroy, you know? Oh, so amazing. Talk to us, Cindy.
You know, I just can't imagine not having God's strength to get me through this life. As
Amen.
Hard as it is, I mean, day to day just living has become so much harder. I don't know if it's because I'm getting older or if times really are changing. It just seems like everyone is struggling so much. Life is so hard all the way around, even for the young people, you know, coming out of school and everything. I don't know how I would do it without God's help every day. You know, and I think about that, people who don't have God or that relationship with Jesus, how heartbreaking it must be, how
yes.
painful, how tired, fatigued. I mean, you know, it's weary. It beats me down enough as it is, the weariness of life when you're trying to have your joy and you know God's got it in his hands and you trust him. I just can't imagine how much harder it would be without him.
Amen.
That's a place I don't want to be.
Oh, I know. And you know, look at Hagar. She was really kind of, you know, out there walking the desert. I mean, probably thinking she was just going to die. And feeling miserable. She was carrying Abram's child. Sarai was treating her badly. Maybe she started it all. Who knows? But it doesn't matter. And God shows up on her behalf, even though she's not perfect here. You know, she went along with the plan of Abram and Sarai to give Abram a child. And then it just seems to crash down on top of her, PJ, like, even though she was trying to do what they wanted her to do, it just wasn't working very well, right?
Right.
Do you want to talk about that?
Well, yeah, and I've been using one of the Bibles I use is the Life Recovery Bible, and it talks about different families and how dysfunctional they are. Well, this kind of just points out the dysfunctionality of Abram and Sarai.
And how human they were.
And how human, because, you know, Hagar gets a little above her station, shall mm-hmm. we say, when she mm-hmm. finds out she's pregnant.
Right.
And then Sarai said to Abraham, "May the wrong done to me be on you."
Right.
Okay, I'm going to blame you for all this, Abram. "I gave you my slave girl to your embrace, and when she saw she had conceived, she looked at me with contempt. May the Lord judge between me and you."
So Sarai had a bad attitude here because she thought being mistreated by Hagar.
Right. And then, but then Abram said to Sarai, "Your slave girl is in your power. Do with her as you please." It's like, I love it. I mean,
little human fight there.
I love the humanity in here.
Little spat.
And then Sarai dealt with her harshly. And maybe Hagar was trying to get back to Egypt because she was an Egyptian.
Okay.
But that's through the Sinai Peninsula.
Wow.
That's nothing but desert unless you're right there on the Mediterranean coast. So yeah, she was in desperate.
Yeah.
In a desperate situation because just she herself could not take enough water
right.
to get across the desert.
Right. It would be impossible.
And so I don't know what she was thinking, where she was hoping to go.
Maybe she had a death wish at this point because things were so bad for her.
Well, maybe so. Here she is. She's pregnant and she's unmarried.
Right. Right.
And that in itself was bad enough.
Go ahead.
But again, we talked about it before. God, the God who sees, he saw what was going on and he came on the scene, provided what she needed and told her, okay, for now, humble yourself, go back to Sarai and Abram. But I'm going to make your son a great nation. And yeah, that wasn't God's perfect will, but he still blessed Ishmael.
He still did. Cindy, talk to us about those times where God appears in our situation and we are aware one more time that God sees me. I love that she calls this spring God alive sees me, spring. God alive sees me, you know? And he is the alive God. He is the risen Lord. And he does see me. And he does see you, Cindy. And he does see PJ and all of our listeners around the globe. Talk to us, Cindy.
I can understand how Hagar might have felt with the rejection and the abuse, I would say, probably. And
oh, yeah.
Verbal abuse, maybe.
Right.
You don't really know what Sarai put her through. And she probably felt ashamed. And
right.
Just like we get sometimes so messed up in our head with so much self condemnation.
Yes.
And of course, you know, the devil's putting us on us too. But we just want to run. We just want to get out of that situation, and to run is it's an instinct.
It is.
Survival instinct. And I can just see her desperate and not really probably caring at that moment what the outcome was going to be. Like you said, a death wish. But I have learned to develop the faith that I know no matter how desperate I am or what desperate measures I might take, that I have seen God in action, that I know he's going to take care of me. He's not going to let me do something, you know, he's not going to let me die. I really believe that. He's not going to let me die.
No, he's not.
And I have claimed that for my children, that he
Amen.
Will not let them die.
Yes.
He will not do that. He will save my children.
Amen.
And I have that belief because he's been there every time. You know, I've been at that well where it was dry, and miraculously God came through something that I needed.
Amen. Oh, that's so good.
It's small stuff too. You know?
Yeah, it is.
He cares about little things.
Amen.
That make a difference. If it affects you and your wishes, your prayers, he hears that, you know?
Amen.
He sees it all.
I love it. God alive sees me, PJ.
Well, and one thing too, the name Ishmael, you know, Ishmael was the first person to get his name from God. And,
oh, wow. Okay.
You know, he was the first one who said that you're going to name your son thus and such.
Yeah.
And Ishmael means God hears. So always.
That's
that
great.
Child,
I love that. I'm writing it in my Bible right now.
A reminder that God heard Hagar's cries.
Oh, that is so good, isn't it, Cindy? First person, because he named seven people, I think seven in the word, Jesus being one of them, John the Baptist being another, John. And so interesting, God hears. Wow, God hears. That'll preach.
Oh, yeah.
And so often when we feel like we've been wronged, and a lot of us have been wronged in life with whatever has happened to us, so many different events. My heavens, if you haven't been wronged in life, something's wrong. You know what I mean? Because, I mean, we all have been. Talk to me, Cindy. But God alive sees me. Talk to us, Cindy.
Well, you know, in personal situation, when I've been wronged, and, you know, we want revenge, or we want to get even, or we wish something upon that person, and we have those ill thoughts because we've been mistreated.
Right.
But if you give that, if you just be quiet and let God deal with that situation, knowing you've been wrong, he will fight that battle for you. He will correct the situation, and he will bless you. He has blessed me with something better than I expected after I had been wronged out of the other situation.
Yes. So true.
And you know,
so
if people mistreat you and you feel wronged by, you know, and you don't trust and you have a hard time trusting people and relationships. And, you know, I've learned even with that if you just wait on God to, he puts those good people in your life. He will, you know, it's not a coincidence. The people he matches you up with or puts in your life to.
Yes.
Show you trust and show you love. And I don't know, he has an answer for everything.
Well,
you
are exactly right. And we just played that song, Everlasting God. Strength arises as we wait upon him, you know? I'm going to play this song right now. It just fits perfectly. You never let go. Because he never lets go of us. He did not let go of Hagar, carrying Ishmael. Doesn't let go of you, Cindy, you, PJ, or me. He never lets go.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, your perfect love is casting out fear. And even when I'm caught in the middle of the storms of this life, I won't turn back, I know you are near. And I won't fear no evil, for my God is with me. And if my God is with me, whom then shall I fear? Whom then shall I?
That song, Lord, you never let go of me. So true. He did not let go of Hagar. He was the God alive that saw her in her situation. He does not let go of us. PJ, do you want to comment on that before we get up to the top of the hour here?
Well, it's
already.
It's so true. He didn't let go of Hagar. And we'll see later on, he didn't let go when they were cast out a second time.
Right.
He's never let go of Abram's descendants.
Right.
You know.
The Jewish people.
The Jewish people. I mean, that to me is proof enough of the existence of God right there, that the Jewish people have survived all this time.
1967, the Six-Day War.
50 years ago, they won back Jerusalem.
Wow.
All of Jerusalem. But in my own life, I can say he never let go, because I don't want to sound real dramatic, but there was the great apostasy of 1985.
In your life.
In my life.
When you walked away from
when
God.
When I walked away from God. And he didn't let go.
Right.
I mean, praise God for that. He did not let go. I wanted to, like Cindy said, run. I just didn't want to have anything to do with God. And I'd been saved at that point for 12 years. And I just didn't, circumstances, I just didn't want anything to do. And yet he never let go.
Even praise God.
When I couldn't see him and I was walking so far out of his will, he still was there, like Hagar at the well. I was famished, and he kept providing water. You know, my need, he kept providing water, and
that's the God we serve.
And brought me back.
Amen. We never let go. He does not let go of us, even though we let go. I want your comment on that, Cindy, after the station ID in a couple minutes. Before that, let's talk about Beacon of Hope and why we do what we do here week after week. Some have asked, how can you be a part of this ministry? You can send offerings and tithes to the ministry directly for the radio ministry of Beacon of Hope Ministries. It will actually benefit our new radio station in Mexico, where the Word of God is coming out there and has been now for a little over a year in Puebla. It's called LibreSoy.mx. You can check out the website. I have a show there in Spanish on a weekly basis. We're getting ready to make that a video show coming starting this week. So I know this is crazy, Cindy. Who would have thought, clear back in 1980-something, when you were a part of my church in Indiana, Cornerstone, that we would be sitting here this many years later, you a part of the ministry of Beacon from afar, like Betty and Megan are, and me being able to travel back and forth to Mexico, my home away from home, where I love to minister the Word of God in that setting. God has been so good. So if you give finances into this ministry, it goes directly for Mexico and these radio shows. You just go to our website, bohmglobal.com. Go to the bottom of the homepage. You'll see donations. Click on that. A page will open to give money on PayPal. And you will be blessed. And without talking about how God blesses us for tithing and giving, he so blesses us for tithing and giving. So if these shows are a blessing to you, we can certainly use your finances for God's ministry to get these shows out there. For Starcom Radio Network that we're on, we pay for that. We also pay for this. We pay for our Thursday night show, which is our counseling show every Thursday night at 6 p.m. Dr. Angel Falzoni, PhD, licensed mental health counselor, and me, my other name, Mama Mac. We do a hour-long counseling show. God has just been blessing that. This week, it's Q&A show. It's questions and answers. We got so many to deal with. We'll only probably get through 10 or 11, but those of you that need free counseling, good way to find it. Go to our website for that show. It's Go Yard, which means hitting a home run, goyard2014.org. O-R-G. And our shows, our past 2.5 years of shows, are listed by title, and that can help you. So, yes, that's a way you can give. Go to bohmglobal.com, bottom of the homepage, donations, PayPal. You can give for the radio shows. And God will bless you. He will bless you abundantly, because it's good soil. We're planting the Word of God around the globe. PJ, do you want to add anything to that before we almost have one more minute here before we got to do Station ID?
Well, it's a great ministry, and it's, you know, as our name is, BOHM Global.
Right.
We are global now.
Yes.
I mean, with Starcom and all that, we're heard around the world.
Yes.
And the Word of God goes forth, and it does not return void.
Amen.
So we're believing, we're planting seeds everywhere.
Yes.
Of God's Word, and the harvest of souls, you know, will be
Amen.
Reaped.
Amen. So, and also our prayer ministry, and we get prayer requests from other countries, prayers@bohmglobal.com. Send your email there for your prayer requests. Pastor Jim, Betty, and Shell here, pick up those and get those.